So we're on side two of the tape, and just want to ask you a little bit about life in Ohio Valley. Who wants to speak? Do you want to talk, Rosanna, or did you find it strange coming into the valley? I know in the old days, my mother always talked about how hard it was for a newcomer to break the ice. And
I had no problem because I'm not a very outgoing person. I'm happy with my own company, if you will, you know. And then I was busy. Mm-hmm. When we moved down to the valley, we had 5 children. Mm-hmm. And so I was busy and I was happy. Gradually you get to know people. What I always found nice was I felt at home in the valley. I felt when, even though I didn't know people very well, but if you drove out of the valley or back into the valley and valley people passed you in the car, I mean, after a time, everybody knew everybody else, and people waved to you, and I felt actually very much at home in the valley. And so I think when you have children at school, also you get to know gradually, you get to know people. And then, of course, I was in the, I think it was Dale Goldovich got me to come to the Ladies' Guild. And then, of course, you get to know people well. So I liked it in the valley.
Yes.
And I was happy there. I felt, often said, that's the first time I really felt at home in New Zealand. Of course, we were, all together, we were 28 years down there.
It's
quite a fair, you know, that's the longest I had been anywhere ever in my life, you know. And
The ladies' school was quite a welcome sort of little group.
They were. I found it in any way. I had no problem with. Yeah, they were all quite nice I quite enjoyed being part of the guild. And
did they do little projects? I never really quite belonged to the guild.
Yeah, we done. I mean, we had bring and buys, cakes and plants, actually, very much, very often we had bring and buy plants, which we, you know. Which
when you had your meetings.
When we had our meetings, yeah. And whenever we made money, the money was made to support the little church, to keep the upkeep of the church down in the valley.
Yeah.
And we done, I mean, we had Christmas party, we done skits, and we done, we had speakers, you know, we had usually a speaker and somebody to demonstrate, and now we had Barry De Bess from Berenz in the mall, you know, when the cake shop was.
Yes.
He was once at the meeting and speaking about cake decorating and that sort of thing. Yeah. And different speakers we had.
Was he Swiss or?
No, he was a Dutchman. Dutchman.
It was a lovely bakery, wasn't it?
Yes, yes. And we had, I think in the beginning, the men were not invited at the Christmas party, but at the later stage, I think.
No, Christmas party.
Were always the men there.
That's the only time the men
were invited. Men were invited, yes. Yeah.
Yes.
One time we actually got the men involved because we, with the Dale Golder and myself, we sort of trained like a folk dance, you know. We done a, and the man had to be involved in it also. And
it's his
name. We done some, you know, skits. And
did you dress up?
Dress up and he's best. He usually was quite involved in it too. We couldn't never get Max to be involved in something like that.
So the women's school was the main thing for bringing the women together?
Yes, it was really, in a way. Yeah. I mean, you didn't go and sit together and have cups of tea and otherwise, you know, you
were too busy running?
Everybody busy doing their own thing, but that's when, I think, when most of the women met and
so they weren't necessarily involved with the church, but they were the people, the women of the valley, weren't they?
I think quite a few of the people in the ladies' guild of the valley people were Anglicans and were maybe involved in the church, but the main thing of the guild was to make money for the upkeep of the little church. And I think at one time actually we had money to put carpet in or something like that, I remember.
So you would have made quite a lot of money.
Yes.
The poor church would have been sadly out of pocket if it hadn't been for the women's guild. So you came together for social, but you also did that.
So the school naturally involved.
And that was the other thing that brought people together.
They had their place down at the hall once a year and things like that.
Usually after every at the end of every term, they usually had a production, the children. They done some quite good things, quite good productions they done while the Golders were teachers.
The Golders were quite keen on that.
And then there usually was a gathering at the hall and the children performed and then there was at Christmas again.
The Father Christmas. So how big was the school when your children started there? Was it very big then? Do you remember?
The school was quite small.
It was only the old house.
The old building.
I think about 27 or so. We actually said that our four brought it up to 31. There was then about an eighth of the whole school.
Was ours, yes. When we moved down there, we had first the four going there to school. And then Max, our youngest one, he done his whole schooling down there.
He was the youngest.
And, but, I mean, it gradually grew.
It grew quite quickly, didn't it?
It did. They first...
They had over 60. In the best time, they had over 60 when they had the two... First they built a classroom, and then they brought the prefab in. But that's naturally gone again. The school is finished.
So sad, doesn't it? It really blossomed and it's just gone away.
It's naturally also, there were a number of years where there were many young families there and there were children. Yeah. And once, then, like ours, all of a sudden five were not there anymore, you know. And there were many other families, the Beshs, sort of in the same age group, and there were several families sort of in that age group, and then once they went, there were not many new ones coming in anymore.
So there wasn't great movement in the houses.
The only disadvantage I felt as far as going to school down there, I mean, it was good to go to school down there for the children, but because they done form one and form two also, they didn't go to intermediate. It was hard for some children once they had to go to college. Yeah. You know, the transition
from that little school
the transition from the little school to the college.
Yeah.
I mean, not all children. I mean, also not all ours were like that, but some of them it was hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did your family go on to Onslow then? I mean, after, or how you?
Yes, ours.
They all went to Onslow.
They all went to Onslow. Mm. Yes. Yeah.
And you think they didn't feel too much difference? Your children so much as some other children, or what were you?
I don't know.
It was just you wish. You could have, they could have had that intermediate.
Yeah, I mean, I not necessarily wished they had it, but I don't know. I just found that it was a bit difficult, sort of the from coming think, from such a yeah. little school to yeah. the college. Yeah. You know, it's yeah. quite overwhelming in a way. Yes.
And your children had quite a good grounding in Devanny School. Do you think the Star School? Oh, maybe not. Maybe you did not give them to the Star.
Yeah, I mean, ours done all well.
Yeah, I mean, Annie done the best in Max.
Yes, yeah.
And the other ones, but there wasn't the school, you know, especially the boys. Ernst was more up to. having fun and having school.
Yeah, but that was more when they went to college.
Yeah.
But in Ohio.
But that's what I mean.
Yes.
Because they didn't, Ernst didn't sort of go do school till finished and Fritz didn't.
No.
But that was not direct to do with the Swari school, it has
no.
to do with the individual boys. You know.
Yeah.
It's just not, they're not. Ready to move on further in school. Yeah. Yeah.
So young Max started up the cafe, didn't he? It was, you know, Karori Library. They had.
Yes,
yeah. he done an apprenticeship with at Berenz.
Yeah.
And after that he went, he was for 3 years in Switzerland. He wanted to go and learn more
different kinds of biking and
biking
that, yeah.
And then
and special bike biking.
Yeah. Yeah. And when he came back he was able to buy with help a small bakery in our street in Wellington.
Mm-hmm.
And later on he actually moved over across the road in our street because somebody, in a way, the landlord he has got now built actually a bakery for him.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't know how long ago, they opened the cafe in Karori when the library was built in Karori. They applied like many others and they got the, yeah.
So they made quite a name for themselves in Zara, right?
Yes. He actually sells, I mean, he's found, if you will, a niche with the kind of bread he bakes.
Yeah.
And he sells his bread, I mean, more Wilson's, which have mm-hmm. got a place in Pororua and in the city, they sell his bread and they also, I think, take it over to the Weiberhafer.
Yeah, the
He sells also a lot of his sort of little specialities. He sells, especially at Christmas, he sells as far afield as Auckland to some supermarkets like New World. They sell some of his biscuits and things. And
so they're both of them like Swiss bakery? Like when he went back to Switzerland, is this when he got the ideas for those?
Yes, I mean, I called him when he was interviewed and was actually in the Evening Post. And he said, I'm not calling myself a Swiss bakery, but Swiss inspired.
Influenced.
Influenced. Yeah,
okay.
I said, it's especially one special thing which was come away from Switzerland with him. Quality, always the same. Keep up exactly the same. Yeah. That people always know what they're buying. Yeah. That you know that's he said as a Swiss. That's in Switzerland. That was the main stressed very much.
Yeah.
So always, if you want to be successful, you have got to supply the same product all the time. Mm. You can add new ones naturally on top of old ones, but the quality what you sell must be the same always.
Yeah. And consistent.
That's what he calls they called in the paper his Swissness in it. You know.
Well, it's sort of to me is overtones of the cheese making. You would have always wanted to do the best.
Yes. Oh yes. Oh yes. Yes.
Develop something that was really good.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Must be just something in the blood, isn't it?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, do you want to say anything about Ohio? Mets? I suppose you're too busy working, building all those fences.
Yes. Not much to talk about the poultry farm, and otherwise I was out of the valley most of the time.
Yes, we'd have been driving out in the morning and driving all
over Wellington.
Yes. Coming home and having a rest and off.
Yeah.
My personal feeling was when they were teenagers, you were always on the road. Did you find that, driving them?
Yes, that's true, yes. Mm-hmm. You were, because they had then, one afternoon they had, I can't remember what they called it. Mm-hmm. The girls went for cooking, mm-hmm. and the boys went for woodwork.
Yeah.
They had to take them to Nayo. And I think we mothers took a bit of turns, but you were a lot on the road, yes. Yeah.
And when the children went to Onslow, they had a taxi to get out.
That's right.
The government sponsored.
There were not enough children to warrant a bus, so they paid for a taxi or two taxis and picked the children up from the crossroad. They had to be, you know, at a certain time at the crossroad, and they're taken. And I think in a way that was a good thing. I mean, whether it would have been a bus or a taxi didn't make no difference, but the fact that they were brought home, the fact that they, after school, they had to catch the taxi. Mm-hmm. And so you always knew where your kids were. They were home. They were not roaming around the village or you know.
I knew they had to get to that taxi.
They were home. Yeah. And mm-hmm. I think that's the good part about having brought up children out away from the main center, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I sort of think too out there they would have learnt some sort of independence, you know.
You had
to make your own.
That's right. Yes.
Fun in a way.
Yes, that's
you?
Right. Yeah.
It wasn't just sort of laid on.
No.
Run down to the shops or run to. You had to fill your own time.
That's right. Yes.
I think that to me that was an advantage sometimes. Sometimes a bit lonely, but on the other hand,
it has naturally both. Advantage and disadvantage, but the advantage probably were better than the disadvantage. More of them, you know.
And in the holidays, actually, ours they went over to the Second Valley quite often. Now, was it Horobin's or was it whose farm were they on when they went to that Grabcutter's farm?
I think it was Horvins.
Horvins. In the Second Valley, there was a Scrapcutter's hut.
It was actually quite a long way down from the Second Valley.
Yeah.
You went actually on Horvins track and unloaded the kids and they had to walk.
They would stay there for a few nights, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And Max and I, we would go and visit them, you know, during the day. And
they were down at the coast,
at Horrobens.
Right over.
Yes, yeah. Right at the coast.
Of course, Horrobens at one stage got the Norwich City Council bus pulled down there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Where that cable lift.
Yes, somewhere on yes. up yes. there, down yes. there, yes.
So the government put that road on through Horrobens.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so they, I know the three bigger ones were, or the four were over there in the inner Schrappkatzhut. And then one day the boys were over there. And then another time the girls were over there, and Max was allowed to go with them. He was still reasonably small. And they got a scare, naturally, because of the opossums, you know. Yes. Opossums being on the roof.
It made a loud noise.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, but I always think they had lots of fun, and our Max was always roaming around along the creek. There was a pond up at Royce, and it's, you know, the creek running behind us had, I mean, there were eels in it and also trout, and there was sort of like a pond, and there were trout in there, and we had a pond, and sort of a natural, you know, down in the creek, and Max used to go up to Roy's pond and catch by hand a trout and run down and put it into our pond because he wanted to transplant them. He wanted to us to have some trout in there.
Did it work?
He
must have been good because he had to be fast.
Yes. He was. We were just talking about
when
it.
When you grew up along that creek, so there.
Then he would catch little eels, you know, and bring them home. And I one time I got sick of having things like that around, and I decided, well, we're going to have some for a meal, and I put them into fresh water in a bucket, and I cut them into pieces and put them into tin foil, and put them on the barbecue, and they were beautiful, like fish.
Because I always think of yours has been a bit muddy.
Yes, apparently if you put them, I can't remember how long, but if you put them into fresh water in a bucket and leave them in there for, I think, some hours or overnight, can't remember. They
clean themselves out a bit.
It was just like having fish.
They were actually very nice.
So there was plenty of paddocks and creek and things
to do. Always things to do.
There was so many things we could do.
But
totally different from living on the
in the city.
In that respect, it was good to bring up
It was just the teenage years, I think, that really sort of, like when they wanted to go out with their mates, and then you had to be around to bring them back home.
And then
you didn't want to be talking on the phone in case they were trying to ring you.
That's the disadvantages. But then you knew where they were. And you never heard, oh, I'm bored, I don't know what to do.
They were apprenticed, like Ernst, he bought a little car, Fritz bought a little car.
They were independent.
Helped them to buy the first car, sort of, you know.
They'd have got their license quite young then, as they could, I suppose. And so that was a sort of an independence thing,
Ernst made a butcher's apprenticeship with Rosy and his father, which had a butcher shop in town. But now he's in Hoogstad.
He's got an orchard.
He's got citrus and stone fruit. It's got the nice orchard up there.
Mm. Yes. Yeah. Were you there, even Mick and Connie were next door to you at Bryce?
Yes, oh yes. Yes. Oh, yes.
And Paul had the, he went and had orchards in Hawke's Bay, didn't he?
That's
apple,
right.
Apple, though.
Yes, yes, that's right, yeah.
But
yes,
then he died of a heart attack.
Yeah,
really.
I didn't know that.
Yes, yeah. Yeah.
My sister and Gary and husband, quite strong friends with him.
Yes,
yes, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It was like a shock, sort of. Yeah.
He lived, before they went to Hawke's Bay, he lived in the little house there, and just a little bit up the road from us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There was a little bit of a bachelor.
Yeah. Long time ago.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, yes. Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Oh, yeah, Mick, we were good friends with Mick Bay, and with Connie, you didn't see her much, and she went naturally to work.
Yeah. Yes.
She always went to work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
But she was okay, I know.
Yeah. So, shall we put it, stop it there?